Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Holiness. It seems like forever I began this series on holiness, and we had Dougie in a couple of weeks ago from England, and he's currently in Queensland. He sent me a card the other day to say thank you for all the love and support that the Gospel Centre showed him. He was able to get a ticket up to Queensland, and he's got a couple of church locations up there that he's going to share his testimony and share Jesus up there on the terrible Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast of Queensland. But last week I was in the Church of Christ ministering there. I feel really blessed to be back here in the pulpit here this morning, because at about 10:45, and they only have a 1 hour service, they asked me to come up and preach the word. So we started at 10, it was 10:45, they said, "Lou, would you like to come up and share the word of God now?" So probably one of the quickest messages I've delivered in a long time. I try not to talk too fast because of the aging congregation, but really sense the prophetic word for future over that church, and spoke that boldly and with confidence. I looked at the pastor and said, "May I share a prophetic word over the congregation?" He gave me the thumbs up and a nod. You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is what it's all about. Those who preach Jesus. Those who believe in the Holy Scriptures. You know, not just lovely little sermons on Sundays, not just a few nice choruses and go home, but those who truly honour the Lord. And I believe for this house that holiness is one of the keys to our future. So I said I'd finish the series. I'm not sure whether I will today. Not that important. If I don't finish it, that's all right. We'll be back next week. Based on this scripture, Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." Can we read that together? Just do this. This means yes. Or you can just simply say yes. Okay, let's go. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." You read very, very well. I might do that more often. Had a bit of body to it, had a bit of strength to it. I like it. I like this quote, and I remember sharing it with you. "The worst chains are those which are neither felt nor seen by the prisoner." You know, sin is like a chain to us. It's like a yoke around our lives. And sometimes we look at our lives and we think, "Oh yeah, I'm doing okay." You know, and sometimes we get to communion, or sometimes we just sing a praise song, a worship song. Holy Spirit begins to speak into our heart about areas of our lives that aren't quite right. But sadly, in the Christian world, there's a lot of people, their hearts have actually been seared to their sin nature. God knows my heart. He understands where I'm at. Absolute truth. But the rest of the paraphrase is this: God doesn't want us to stay the way we are. Amen? And all of us, friends, every one of us here today have got areas that are not quite right with God yet. Myself included. I'm not standing up here holier than thou. I'd have my white collar on and my big gold chain if I was. But seriously, God wants us to be holy. He wants to follow after him. And friends, if you're not bold enough to ask God areas of sin in your life, he's not going to tap you on the shoulder and tell you. You're not bold enough to, in your time of prayer or dedication to him, or you know, whatever you do, when you spend time reading his word and perhaps do your morning devotion and some prayer time, if you're not bold enough to say, "God, here I am. Do I need a clean up, God? Do I need a total wipe out and a restore?" He's not going to bother you about it. And your heart becomes harder. Your self becomes more full of pride. Come to church and look at the other people and you go, "Oh, look at them. They think they're all right. Look at them." We go out in the world and we judge the world. You know what Matthew 7:1 says? Judge not, lest you also be judged. Ooh, I don't want to be caught judging. I want to make sure this temple of the Holy Spirit is clean for Holy Spirit to inhabit. Not just to visit, not just to pop in for a quick 20 minutes on a Sunday, hour and a three quarters if we go that long, you know. But I really believe this is a word from the Lord. Look at this scripture here in 1 Peter 1:14-16. You bold enough to read it with me again? Come on, let's read. 1 Peter 1. You going to read with me? Okay, let's start again. 1 Peter 1:14-16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I like that last line. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in some of the things you do. Be holy in most of the things you do. Oh, let's up the ante. Let's go to 98% of all you do. Wow, what a challenge on all our lives. 100%. Be holy in all you do. We started looking about holiness and consecration. Looked at different scriptures there. If you weren't there for those, I've been promised that all our sermons from the end of August to last week are going to be up on our webpage this week. And then we're going to start archiving from March to fill in that gap. We're going to try and get everything fortnightly, if not weekly, updated to our page. So if you don't get the sermons and you want them, you can order a CD at the front counter, or you can go online and catch up with some of the series we've done. But it's been a full year when you really look at what we've done and the area we've covered. But I really feel to park the truck here today on holiness again. So holiness is consecration. I brought up the point literally that holiness means to be set apart to God. That's what holiness is. And sanctification is simply the process of being made holy. You know, we had a pretty busy day in our garden the other day, and I mowed lawns and trimmed edges and filled up wheelie bins and cleaned out bird cages, and I was quite pleased with myself until I stepped up to Pastor Robin and she said, "You really need a shower." I said, "Why? I've been enjoying the outdoors. I've, you know, got close to the earth and got that feel." She said, "Before you sit down to dinner, would you please take a shower?" It wasn't even Saturday night, and I had to have a shower. Just kidding. But you know, coming to Christ is like that. I came to Christ with all my sin. You came to Christ with all your sin. And some of it didn't wash off straight away. Stuff you thought was going to be okay with God wasn't okay with God. And the journey, as I said, with God, with Christ as the center of our lives, means that sometimes we've got to step back into that shower of the Holy Spirit, the washing of His Word over our lives. Sometimes it can be the most simplest thing, the most obvious thing. We go, "God, why didn't I get that earlier? You mean I've been doing that for this amount of time and didn't realize it was against you?" But you know, in our lives as pastors, as even as husband and wife, the closer we get to God, the closer and the more we realize that we're not that pure and that spotless bride yet. You know, people seem to think the pastors have got it all together, they're superhumans and they sit up on pedestals and their lives are squeaky clean. But you know, my life's a journey just like yours. I don't believe in road rage, but I get tested in it. Don't laugh, you do too. You know? And the TV program that you thought you're going to sit down and enjoy just for half an hour, and a little word comes on, you go, "Click, can't listen to that. Oh, just one more try." It goes again. "Oh, if it goes again, I'm going to turn this thing off." No. Holiness says, "I hear an offensive word. I hear anything that dishonors my God, it's finished." Amen? Yep, three of you agree, that's cool. You know, I think holiness is something that we've got to grab as a reality. The scriptures are there, and we're just going to continue on. Last week, I think, three weeks ago, holiness is a continual process. You know, we think we've arrived, we think we're doing okay, and God just reminds us, things are not like they used to be. Don't compromise. You know, I think I've shared the story many times that my father-in-law, who is an amazing man of God, he's done some awesome things for the church and with the church and loves God with all his heart. He used to have these words come across his desk, and they were so painful, so offensive to him. He'd write that word on a piece of paper and he'd put it in the bottom drawer of his desk. And he'd every now and again he'd bring out this pile of words. And he'd pray over them. He'd say, God, we've compromised. We've allowed so many words in our English Australian vocab that were so offensive when I was growing up. And he said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with them? He said, and God used to say, put them in your drawer, and every time I prompt you, just break that work of the enemy. Because he was a believer in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that rises up and conquers all things. And we need to be like that too. It's a continuous process. You know, sometimes in our growing up, remember when you were little and your parents didn't let you do stuff? But by the time your little brother or sister come along, they were allowed to do the stuff you weren't. And then you had kids your own, and the stuff you weren't allowed to do, but your little brother or sister were allowed to do, your kids were allowed to go to the next level. Come on, you're not all that holy. And now if you've got grandkids, they push the buttons on just about everything, and they go, but mummy lets me do it. Or we do this at school. Amen? And so it is, I believe, with the Word of God. We have so-called Christians that are teaching wrong doctrine based on their version of the Bible, not God's holy word. Thank you. But it's what it's about. And so let's go on this morning to the point number four. I think I got to three weeks ago. I think I'm up to point number four. Am I? Holiness is a choice. How obvious is this? Your eyes opened this morning. Hopefully you were still in bed. But you had a choice. What will I do today? Pull the cover up a little bit tighter. Go back to sleep. Oh, perhaps have cooked breakfast. You know what? I might even go to church today. What shall I wear? Will I shower or bath this morning? You know? Will I have Weet-Bix or cornflakes? Will I drive the Maserati or the Lamborghini this morning? Oh, no. Click, click. That one suits. No. We all have choices. Life is a choice. I want you to all do this with me. I want you to look at me firstly, and I want you to do this. You had a choice then. Could have, absolutely. You didn't have to actually breathe in. But isn't it good that God's got this free will choice working in us that says, breathe in. Keep breathing in. Come on. Come on, keep breathing in. Keep breathing in. No, God's plan is there is a plan for your body that benefits you when you breathe in. This beautiful Victor Harbour fresh air. Not living in Singapore or Beijing or anywhere else in the world. Clean air over there, is there, Dave? No. But we have this ability to choose. When I said, all look at me and do this, I could see a defiant look on some of you saying, will I, won't I, will I, won't I? Yes, I will. And then I heard some of you breathe out by choice. But then I decided it was time to breathe out. Holiness is exactly like that. I know that sounds a really dumb example, but it's not. The life we live here on planet Earth, here in this great south land of the Holy Spirit, is based a lot on our choices. There's a lot of stuff you do that nobody can make you do, but you choose to do it. Amen? But holiness is something God commands us to do. Be holy as I am holy. That simple word be, it is a commandment, is an instruction to do. Now, as a child, I know you would never like me, I chose whether I obeyed my parents or not. I know you are good kids. You never disobey. But we all do, don't we? We disobey our parents. We disobey laws. We disobey our teachers when we're at school. We disobey our spouse sometimes. And can I put the mix in? We disobey God. We have a choice. So again, that scripture to 1 Peter 1 verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You know, living as a disobedient child wasn't really a plus. I had two sisters, they were goody two-shoes. I had a baby brother that was always a baby brother. No matter whether he's good or bad, it didn't matter, he was the baby brother. But me, I was a little bit out there. I was what they called the black sheep of the family. Quite often that's what they called me. Because I was radical. I tried to do stuff different. I tried to break out of the mold. You know, a bit like if it feels good, do it. But in Christ, I don't have that choice any longer. I'm an obedient child of God. We are no longer ignorant to what God wants. If you're a reader of God's word, some scriptures you might have learnt in Sunday school, some scriptures you might know off by heart, suddenly are a revelation to you. God, what do you mean by that? Really? God didn't free us from sin for no purpose at all. And let's be honest, we know how he wants us to live, but we choose. Amen? All of us. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. If you got your Bibles there, would you please follow with me? I said to a lady after church last Sunday at the Church of Christ, I said, it's been a real honour, been a real privilege to serve God here in your sanctuary. She said, tell me, if we come to your church, how long does the service go? I said, on a good day, an hour and three quarters. If I get a bit of leeway, probably closer to two. And she goes, how long do you preach for? I said, oh, 40, 45 minutes is what I try to keep to. She goes, wow, that's a long time. When you cut down to 10 or 15 minutes, 40 minutes is a long time. But seriously, how long does it take to teach the Word of God? Now, I could try and cram it in 20 minutes, but an important issue like this, a good teaching of God's Word takes time, doesn't it? So Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out. This is the Amplified Version. Cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Wow, is that a long verse or what? Timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Verse 13, not in your own strength, praise God for that, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Notice it's a combined work. God is working in us to accomplish his will for his good pleasure as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We can't force his will and we can't force his purpose on our lives. God shows us the path to walk, but we still make the choice of taking that path. Amen? So tonight, perhaps at 7 o'clock, your favourite Sunday night TV program is about to come on, and it's so offensive, it's so against what you've heard when you're reading the Bible yourself, in your prayer time, devoting yourself to God. What are you going to do? You've got this little remote in your hand, and your hand starts to shake, but God, it's my favourite program. He says, kill it. I can't, God. So why therefore do we demand God to fulfill his purpose for our lives when we won't allow him to show us a change in ours? It's a two-way street. It's a partnership. And I love that about God. God sends his son to us so that we can have a relationship with the Father again. Who wins? We do and he does. God's Father heart reaches out to a sin-filled world and says, if you're prepared to commit to me, I'll wash you clean of your sins. You can separate yourself from worldly thinking and worldly doing, and you become like my son Jesus. So at the day of judgment, you stand before me clean. And I say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. For those on the other side, depart from me, I never knew you. Wow. Choice. Eternity with God, eternity without God. His plan always is for us, for his kingdom to grow, for us to grow, and we all grow together. The king is not just about the king, he's about his kingdom. Romans 6, verses 1 to 2. We read it earlier. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We have died to sin. I think if the church per se got a hold of revelation like that, that we have died to sin, when sin comes your way, when it comes my way, when it comes our way, we say, you're dead. Go. That famous scripture, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he what? Will flee from you. He must flee from you. Why? Because the sin nature in you is dead. It is no longer you that live, but it's Christ who lives in you. Amen? I know I'm reiterating points, but if he's in you, sin shouldn't be able to get in. The temptation to sin can come, but it's your choice whether you resist it or allow it. And the searing of the conscience will allow it. God knows my heart. What a cop-out. The problem is God does know your heart, and it's a sin-natured heart. If you're saying yes to sin, I'm saying yes to sin, if we're saying yes to sin. We can't live for the devil, we can't live for the ways of this world and live for God at the same time. It's like trying to breathe in and out at the same motion. But the good news is that God is right here with us to help us with our every choice. His word is such an encouragement to us. God, I don't know what to do about such and such. Look in the word. Pray. Seek the direction of the Holy Spirit. You'll get an answer. May not be the answer you want, but it'll be God's answer. Ooh, you've gone quiet on me. You and I have been set free from sin. We were slaves to sin. We've now been set free from sin. And whom the Son sets free stays free by choice. You're free as long as you walk in that freedom. But as soon as you allow sin back into your life, or continue to allow sin in your life, you're a slave to sin again. It's a choice. Sorry to make it sound so dumb, but it's not. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Got all that hay baled, Pete. in the shed. All right, next point. We keep moving on, please. Holiness then is control over sin. Okay, so what have you got in your life that gives you control over sin? Have you got a strong will? Have you got determination? Holy Spirit, absolutely. Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. There's a Holy Spirit that lives in you of God. He's not an unholy spirit. He's not a spirit of this age. He's not a spirit of doubt and fear and unbelief. He's not a spirit of lack or a spirit of sickness and disease. The Holy Spirit resides in you, helps you to receive that holiness. And if you look here in Romans 6, verse 18, it says, you have been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness. No longer slaves to sin. Look at that rope. It's hemp rope. It's not nylon rope. You can break it. Doesn't keep stretching. Set free from sin. Sin had your life bound up. It was a yoke. It was a burden that shackled you. It had you chained to a way of life that God never intended you to live in. That's sin. The Bible tells us here in the book of Romans, you have become, you were once slaves to sin, but through Christ Jesus you have now become slaves to righteousness. Oh, I'm shackled to righteousness. Oh, what a freedom that is. You see, slaves don't live for themselves. Slaves live to please their master. And if you're declaring Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, He's your master. Remember in the scriptures, people would often come to Jesus and say, Master. They would address Him as Master. You do that for someone who's in authority over you. They would come to Him and say, Lord. Or they'd come to Him and say, Rabbi. Teacher. You know, in this day and age, we treat everyone like they're of equal status with us. You know, little kids come up and say, Hi Lou, how are you? I'm not Lou. I'm either Mr. Saunders or I'm Pastor Lou. When I'm in a classroom of children, I don't say to the teacher, Hey Helen, how are you today? I say, Hello Mrs. Smith, how are you today? Hi children, how are you? They go, G'day Lou. No, they don't. They say, Good morning, Pastor Lou, or Good morning, Mr. Saunders. So we can be slaves to sin and please that master, or we can be slaves to righteousness, smiley face, and please our new master, because he's not a tyrant. He's not a slave master as such. He's our heavenly Father who sent His Son for our freedom. Amen? So holiness gives us control over sin. You see, sinners never have a problem with sin. Why? Because they're doing what pleases themselves and it pleases their master. While they're pleasing that master, their master keeps enticing them into that way of living. What they don't realize, they're slaves to it. You know, life controlling issues. Gambling, drug addiction, alcohol, violence, cheating, lying, robbing, you know, rumouring, gossiping. These are all sin. I'm not even going to the heavy stuff. These are day-to-day sin things that keep us slaves to sin. So what happens when a slave disobeys their master? They receive discipline. So when you're a slave to sin, what's your discipline? It might be a continued addiction. It might be a life-controlling substance you just cannot get away from. It may be that relationships keep falling over and over and over because there's no right relationship. It's a sinful nature. It might be an area of finances where you've done something wrong in the area of finances and you're cheating, you're robbing, you're stealing, you're putting in false tax returns, you're, you know, robbing the boss or whatever it is, and you're wondering why you can't get ahead in your finances. But when you come to Christ and you serve your new master, what happens there? When you disobey, does he give you a really big slap around the ear? Does he take you back from that place of grace back into that place where you're in a place of judgment? Because he's such a loving, caring master, because he's such a loving, caring God, he disciplines you with love, redirects you, shows you the area of your ways and says, there's a better way of doing it. Amen? So we have control over sin because we're slaves now of righteousness. We know when we've disobeyed God because, as Dean said, Holy Spirit is right there to put us back on the right path. That's a good place to say hallelujah, amen. Amen. Yeah? Do you believe that? Am I just preaching to myself in a mirror this morning? Or is it really gelling with you that this thing of holiness is a reality? Some of the most miserable people I know are Christians who try to live a double life of compromise between sin and righteousness. They turn up to church on Sundays, they're the loudest hallelujahs, they're the first ones to pray, but their life beyond the door is a life of sin. I'm not putting sin in any category. Sin is sin in God's eye. And they wonder why they're miserable. They wonder why their lives are ordinary. Come with me to Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Book of Colossians chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23. Sorry, Robin, I should be looking your way more often. Colossians 1, verses 22 and 23. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. There's a two-letter word in there. It's the word if. If you continue your faith. Amen? I can't say you'll never face temptation because you're a Christian. Even Jesus said, you'll face trials, you'll face temptations. But that if word, if you continue in your faith, if you stand strong on the word, if you seek out the scripture that's going to carry you through, we don't have to fail, but we can live a holy life. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. I think this is going to be a huge challenge for all of us who are serious about God, about living this holy life, because it's going to have this little word in it called change. Change. A bit like having me as worship leader instead of Trudy. It's change. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. Remember, this is Paul writing to the church. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men of all such sins, as we've already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. If you think this morning it's impossible to live a holy life, you really miss the whole point of coming to Christ. I say this in a mirror. I say this to myself as much as I'm saying it here to us all. What is the point of Jesus coming to earth, giving up his life for you, for me, for us, if we want to go on living the way we always used to live? And we wonder why none of our friends are interested in the life we profess to now have. And when we talk to them about God, they don't want to know because they don't actually see the change in us. Holiness is control over sin, because holiness is also a connection. It's a connection with God. Jesus laid down his life to re-establish a connection between mankind and our Heavenly Father God. There's no other way it could happen. The priests tried. The prophets of old tried. The great kings and leaders tried. But it had to be a sacrifice, as we know, without blemish. It had to be a sacrifice with blood. It had to be a sacrifice that would reconnect mankind in its sinful nature with God, the creator of heaven and earth. And when man became connected, when sin left our lives, it was washed by the blood of the Lamb, we became holy. We became in right standing with God himself. We were made righteous, sanctified, justified. Holy words, aren't they? Get to them later. But we were made right with God. You know, I came out of that shower the other day. Oh, I smelt good, felt good, re-energized. It's the same when we're washed with the blood of Jesus. It's the same when the Holy Spirit comes and he visits you and you're feeling down or you're feeling lost or you're feeling like God's not hearing your prayer. And God comes through the Holy Spirit and you go, oh, that was good. And it's just something about the presence of God in your life that's like a Palmolive gold wash. Don't wait to be told you need Palmolive gold. But you wash and you smell good. You wash and you feel good. You wash and you want to go on doing stuff. Holy Spirit's like that. And he gives us that control over sin. Why? Because sin can smell God's goodness on you. He can taste God's goodness around you. He can sense the power and the glory of God upon you. And when that's there, he goes, no, let's find another target. Let's go around like a roaring lion seeking someone else we can devour. Amen? Amen. I'm going to finish it there. I've still got some more messages to preach out of this. Just a reminder that there's no night service tonight. It's the first Sunday of the month, so no night service. We're back to two services next week. I want to continue on this subject of holiness. Can we finish with a song, Your Presence is Heaven to Me?